I know in this day and age, it's hard to avoid hearing about social media almost constantly, which can get kind of annoying if you haven't truly embraced it or experienced it. It's kind of easy to just say, oh, I don't need that in my life. I have enough going on. And I just want you to know I don't have any certain agenda for promoting social media for its own sake, but I do have an agenda for promoting gardening. So that's where I'm coming from with today's topic. And today's speaker is a social media expert consultant for the green industry. So he bridges these two worlds very nicely. Chris Heiler is a green industry social media consultant. He develops social media strategy and training programs for clients ranging from landscape design build firms and lawn care companies to garden centers, growers, and specialty manufacturers. So he pretty well runs the gamut in the green industry. He knows all inside and out. Chris regularly speaks at landscape industry events across the country and writes for all kinds of publications. Of course, he shares his social media expertise online with hundreds of green industry professionals in his social media club called Landscape Leadership. That can be found at www.landscapeleadership.com. And before turning all of his attention to consulting about social media, Chris really got to know his industry from the other side of things by spending 7 years designing and creating gorgeous landscapes in Michigan as the principal of Fountainhead Gardens. Now he lives in Austin, Texas, and that would definitely be considered step. And because he does work for professionals in the industry, you may not have had the opportunity to hear about him yet. If that's the case, our talk with him today will be a real treat. He's an amazing speaker and insightful teacher. Welcome to the call, Chris.
Thanks.
How are you doing today?
That was pretty flattering. Doing awesome.
Good.
First of all, you need to explain to me what STEP is. I don't know what STEP is. And is Austin considered – I've only been here for about 8 months, so – Austin's not the interior west, right? So, I mean, where is the interior west?
Well, as to not divert too much, you and I might want to talk about that perhaps over Facebook.
Okay.
Or later on. But basically, well, Panayoti pushed my definition of it in his call last week. I thought it was a shrub-dominated landscape, and it largely is. It's largely high and dry country, but he corrected my idea of it and said he relearned his own idea of it a number of years ago when he talked to some Russian folks who were visiting him at the Denver Botanic Gardens and said that what Panayoti had formerly thought was tundra, they said, oh, no, that's step two, and forested areas with trees even are step. So his call is one that I will definitely be listening to over and over again myself to really let that information permeate. And he had a nice slideshow that went with it as well that will help. But he said it definitely goes into the Midwest and prairie and even more humid areas, which was a new idea to me. I hadn't known that step included humidity, and he said that it's not such a defining factor. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe Austin is on the edge. We'll have to ask Panayoti, maybe in Facebook.
There you go.
There's a snippet anyway for you to bring you up to speed. And
okay.
So, Chris, I'd like to jump off from here and ask you to tell the audience and myself how you first got involved in gardening, just bare bones. How did you get started in this industry at all?
Okay. Well, currently, I'll admit I'm not much of a gardener now that I've kind of transplanted myself to Austin from Michigan. Back in Michigan, I had a house and everything, and I could putz around out in my garden. Now I'm sitting in my little apartment looking out at a bunch of concrete. So I'm not much of a gardener right now. Not to say that I won't be doing that more in the future, but not right now. But how did I get started in it? I think, kind of go back to my first gardening experience when I was a kid. I was probably 10, 12 maybe, something like that. And my mom would always, she'd always take me into town to get groceries and things like that. We lived probably half an hour away from a main city. I grew up in rural Michigan, so we had to drive a ways to go get groceries and all that stuff. I'd always make her drag me along so I could go to the baseball card store because I was really into collecting cards and stuff like that. So she would always do that. And then I remember one day coming back home and my mom stopping at, it was kind of like a farmer's market. You know, they sold fruits and vegetables, things like that. And then outside they had a bunch of flowers and things like that, different plants, vegetables that they were selling. I remember going there and I remember walking around with my mom. She was looking at all the plants. And I stumbled upon this tray of hen and chicks. I think Semper Vivum, I think, is the botanical name. Anyways, I was all excited. I was like, check these things out. These are pretty cool, you know. And my mom let me buy one. I think I bought like a 2-inch cell pack or something, you know, with one little plant in it. But that was like my plant. That was my first plant. And I named the thing Buford. I remember that. So I got this little hen and chick. I name them Buford. I take them home to my mom's garden. My mom wasn't like, she wasn't an expert gardener or anything, you know. Probably like all of us, you know, none of us are really experts. But I planted it out in the garden, and I took care of that thing for probably, I don't know, it probably was like a month. I'm going to say it was like 2 years, but, you know, realistically, it was probably like a month. I don't remember. But anyway, I was able to watch the thing evolve and all that. And hen and chicks are pretty cool because they have all those little offshoots. But anyways, that was kind of my first experience with it. And then I got older. I went off to college. I went to a smaller school. And I remember coming home during Christmas break when I was a sophomore. And I was talking to my mom. And I had no clue what I was going to major in. No clue. Beyond, you know, like keg parties. That was my major at the time. And so I was talking to my mom. I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And I had to declare a major. And she's like, well, what about landscape design? And I said, what the hell is landscape design? I mean, you can go to school for that. And where we were from, you know, kind of a rural area, none of us knew what landscape designers were. Our families didn't hire landscapers. You know, we did everything ourselves. So I had no clue what horticulture was. I didn't know what landscape design was. But then I started kind of looking into it, and I decided to transfer from where I was to Michigan State University to finish up my degree and get my degree in horticulture. So that's what I did. And I just kind of jumped on it, transferred to Michigan State, got my degree in horticulture and landscape design. And once I graduated, I moved back home and just have been in the industry ever since. And it's probably been 14 years maybe since I graduated, something like that. So that's kind of how I got involved in the industry and on the design side of things.
That's a great story. Thanks to your mom and Buford.
Yes.
Great. I love it. Thanks for sharing that story with us. And
I guarantee you Buford is out there somewhere still. You know how those things multiply. There's part of Buford out there somewhere.
Well, I kind of kept expecting you to tell us that, to say, well, you went home after 4 years of college and looked down, and there was Buford like eight times as big or something.
I should add that to the story.
Yeah, add that. That'll be a good one. So then the next natural question I see is, how did you get into social media? I mean, it's not like a lot of us, you've just dabbled in it a little bit. Like, I feel like in our industry anyway, you are the face of social media. How did you fall in love with it to this extent? When did that happen?
Well, I would say that probably happened maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Back in October of 2008, I had my successful landscape design firm. And in October of that year, I launched my website, Landscape Leadership. which was a membership website where I tried to teach other professional landscape designers like myself different ways to run their business. So I would teach them marketing, different business practices, sales stuff, and we talked about design, we talked about construction, all this stuff. And that's the original intent that I had for the site. And that was really a form of social media. So that's kind of when I got involved. But what happened was when I started that site, I got so unfocused with my business because I was doing so many different things. And then the economy tanked. So that like totally made me realize that I needed to focus on one thing. So at that point, I think it was probably in 2009, 2010, I said, all right, I need to totally focus on what I'm doing online because I think there's more potential here. There's greater reach. So I gave up my landscape design company. I stopped doing that. I owned another business that I basically walked away from. And I focused all my efforts online, and I realized I needed to have a stronger focus. So I then focused on marketing for the green industry. And then I evolved even more probably 6 months later and then started focusing on social media for the green industry. So I just kind of evolved over time, over the past 4 years to where I'm at now. So I'm not doing any of the design work anymore, but I'm still in the industry. I'm just, you know, I just have a different focus now.
Mm-hmm. You saw the potential and you ran with it. I think that makes perfect sense. Natural evolution.
Yeah, you know, being in Michigan, the economy really impacted us, you know, just like everywhere else in the country. But what I realized was I didn't want to be so tied to a local economy anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought, you know, kind of moving my business online would be a smarter choice for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I am hoping that you can tell our audience why we should care, why they should care. I mean, you are working with professionals, but I think you can also speak to why the rest of us should care about social media and how it might be able to help our gardening, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think I can speak to that.
You can too.
I mean, you're all passionate about gardening. I mean, why would you join a garden club? You know, why are you on this call? It's because you all have a shared passion, and that shared passion is all about gardening. And social media is similar to being part of a garden club. It's just online. It's connecting. Social media basically connects you with like-minded people, right? Just happens to be online. So similar to a garden club in that sense. And it's all about learning and getting inspired by other, you know, enthusiastic, like-minded people, like-minded gardeners, and vice versa, being able to teach other people what you've learned, teach them about the challenges that you've had. So social media allows you to do all of these different things. And then the cool thing is, too, you can take all these relationships that you form online, you can take a lot of them offline, too. And I've seen cool examples with that. There's a group, I think they're in the Northeast, but there was this group of garden bloggers. You know, they all followed each other's blogs. They followed each other on Twitter. So they knew each other really well online. But then what they did was they put together these meetups now offline where these bloggers will get together. They'll go visit gardens together. They'll go to different garden shops, nurseries, things like that together. So what started with this little community of people online, this gardening community online, it's totally moved offline now too. So they have the best of both worlds, and they've just built great relationships, which obviously it's helped their gardening skills.
That's a great story. I love that. That's happening more and more. I think it's really cool. So
yeah,
to help people with that, I have formed a fan page on Facebook called Interior West Gardening Community to give folks a venue to put what we learned today from you into action. And for everybody out there, Chris is going to walk us through signing up for Facebook in case that's something you have never done and haven't wanted to do or felt was kind of scary, and making a post at the end so that if you are hot to trot but you don't know what to do, we'll hold your hand through it. And if it's too elementary for you, you can leave the call at that point. I'll let you know when that's going to happen. So, Chris, give us some statistics. How many people are on Facebook now? I'm not really all about the hype and doing something because it's popular, but just to illustrate how many people that will have access to tap into and to form this community with. Give us an idea.
Well, it is the most popular website in the world. Of all the social networks, it's by far the biggest. Easily, I mean, it dwarfs all other networks. Give you some perspective, if Facebook were its own country, it'd be the third largest country in the world, behind China and India. Right now, currently, there's about 850 million users worldwide. By the end of 2012, there's going to be over a billion, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. But what matters most to us, I think, is probably, you know, what's happening in the U.S. And over 50% of the U.S. population is on Facebook. Okay, so the majority of people in this country are on Facebook. I know that seems kind of crazy, but it is what it is. And what I want you to think about, too, is this isn't Facebook and social media in general isn't just something for high school kids as a way to gossip, or, you know, college kids to plan keg parties or anything like that. It's not just for young people. It's for adults, too. And it's about 40% of Facebook users are over the age of 35. Okay, so that's a pretty powerful number. 40% of Facebook users are over 35 years old. So put it this way, there's a ton of people on Facebook. So if you're going to have a little garden forum, garden group, Facebook is definitely the place to do it.
Great. Glad we're headed in the right direction. We'll talk about how to do that and what resources exist for us for moving forward. And just to give everyone in the audience listening a fair warning, after listening to some of these speakers yet to come in this teleseries, you may well be gung-ho. I hope you'll be gung-ho on gardening right into your native clay soils, no amendment, maybe no water, growing these plants that are kind of newer to the industry and maybe a little harder to find at all of the nurseries you might go to. So let's say you go down to your local nursery or your local extension agent, as Cheryl Moore Goff, the first week, a week ago, mentioned, and you ask them about some of these things you've learned in this series, and just to warn you, they may look at you like you have three heads. And I want you to have a positive experience learning this new cutting-edge information. And so wouldn't it be nice to go someplace where there are like-minded gardeners to lean on and to learn how this actually translates into your own garden with. So that's part of the vision here that I think you'll really benefit from by using social media for your gardening growth and personal experiences. I know personally this is something I have yearned for myself for years, a vibrant community of gardeners just as engaged in our craft as I am and dedicated to learning this quote-unquote new way. Excuse me, living in a small town where there isn't an established, well-reputed institution, such as the Denver Botanic Gardens, for example, which is loaded with classes and educators full of cutting-edge information, can make it kind of difficult to find. So for the rest of us, social media, I think, is a great resource. And Chris will give us more of a breakdown shortly on what's what with profiles, pages, like, friend, timeline, all of these words that get thrown around within the Facebook social media world. Would you like to do that now, Chris, or do you want to wait until we do the walkthrough at the end? What do you think?
I can do that now, but I'm going to share a funny story with you first that you
just
made me remember.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about going to your nurseries and getting advice. The first job I had out of college, or no, this was when I was in college, I was working with this garden center in Michigan, and a lot of the soils in Michigan in our area were solid clay. So they would, their rule was every time we planted a tree or a shrub, in the bottom of that hole for the tree, which was solid clay, we had to put two bags of peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the bottom of the hole, just pack in these two bags of peat moss. And then, you know, we would plant a big Colorado spruce or something, and then the thing would be dead like a month later. And I learned in school, I was like, well, you know, you're not supposed to amend the soil. You know, just plant in the native soils. So I go back and tell my bosses this. They don't want to hear anything about that, right?
Right.
They would send us out, with all these bags of peat moss. Just put the peat moss in the bottom of the hole. If the plant dies, we'll go replace it. I mean, but that's the kind of thing you got to deal with. You know, you're dealing with those kind of people.
Yep. Exactly. So maybe not the best place to get our information from. Or if we do, then we feel beaten down and daunted when we learn this method that is meant to work with nature and make everything a lot easier.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You want me to talk about some of these Facebook things now? I can do that.
Yeah. I don't know what would be easier for you if we want to. I don't want to make the people who are already on Facebook bored to tears by walking through the elementary stuff before we get to some of these terms like timeline, which is really still a brand new thing for most of us. But it might make more sense to go through it from the bottom up. What's going to be easier for you, Chris, to work with?
Oh, I can just talk about some of this basic stuff real quick.
Great.
And include timeline in there.
Great.
It'll be pretty simple.
Okay.
So some of you guys, you know, probably know most of this stuff, but when you create an account on Facebook, okay, you're creating what I call a personal profile. And your personal profile is where you become friends with people, right? And people friend you. So kids from high school, you know, people from high school, people from college, maybe places that you've worked in the past, people send you friend requests. And you can also send friend requests to people. That's your personal profile. That's what you create when you set up an account. Then if you want to, let's say you have a business or you're interested in something, you can create what's called a Facebook page. And that is different from your personal profile. Like Ava has created a Facebook page for this group. What'd you say the name? What was the name of it? Your page?
Interior West Gardening Community.
Okay, so that's a Facebook page, and that's what you like, right? You click that little like button. You like a page. So that's the difference between a personal profile and a page. Okay. Not a real big deal there. So friending versus liking, you become friends with people on your personal profile or you like a page. I'm assuming most of you on the call, if you're not running your own business or anything, you probably just have a personal profile. Is all you have. So you could go to the page that Ava created and then like that page. And then you're going to see all of Ava's updates within your newsfeed. And the newsfeed is basically at the top of Facebook, you see the little home tab. That's what's called your newsfeed. That's where you see all the updates coming in from your friends and from the different pages that you like. It's as simple as that. Timeline. This is kind of the fancy new word that Facebook uses to describe the new layout, I guess, of profiles and pages, where now all of your updates are in chronological order, and you can actually create updates in the past, so you can create milestones, things like that, for important events. With Facebook, like if you haven't used it yet, if you don't have an account, what I just said might sound a little overwhelming. It's one of those things. You just got to jump into it, start playing around. and you'll figure it out real quick how everything works. Is that enough, Ava, or is there anything else specifically you want me to touch
great.
On with it?
That's great. I do have a couple follow-up questions for you. One, I feel like is really important for a lot of people to hear because I've heard other people commenting on it. My dad, for example, he was so funny. He got on Facebook. He's like, I'm going to try it out. So he creates his profile, and like 2 days later, he's like, I'm like, asked him how it's going, and he's like, oh, I shut it down. All these people kept asking me to be their friends, and it freaked him out. It was just, I think it was just overwhelming. He didn't really know what to expect, and I know other people have had similar experiences with not really wanting to be seen or be interacting with all of these people from their past. And so I want to ask you about aliases. Is it okay to go on Facebook and name yourself Spruce Tree or Verbascum Thapsus or whatever crazy thing so you can participate in this Interior West gardening community or whatever other things you might want to do and not have all those people swamping you?
Well, I guess let me ask you this. Would you join a garden club and go introduce yourself as Rose Fairy or Petunia Queen or something like that?
I wouldn't.
Probably not. No, I mean, why would you do that on Facebook? I mean, you can do that. I don't suggest it because I don't think you're going to be taken seriously mm-hmm. by people. And I just don't suggest it. And the thing is, you totally control who you're connected to on there, who sees your stuff, what updates you see. You control all of that. Okay, so there's no reason to be worried about who's following you. You have total control over that. I can see people, I can totally understand why someone would be overwhelmed at first when they first join, and next thing you know, you've got a bunch of friend requests from people you haven't talked to in 20 years. I can understand that, but once you figure out like how to manage that, well, then it's super simple, you know. It's just a matter of controlling the privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if you don't want people from your high school finding you, don't put in your personal profile what high school you went to. It's as simple as that. Or don't put in what college you went to, and then the chances of people finding you are going to be less. And the other thing is, if, you know, a buddy of yours from second grade, you know, sends you a friend request, you don't have to accept that. Just ignore it. There's nothing wrong with that. I do that all the time.
So you don't have
and,
to feel bad
your privacy setting
about saying
you don't have to feel bad about it. I don't.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's good for people to hear because it's different on social media than face to face. You know, you can not accept someone's friend request and it's okay.
Yeah, and here's the other thing to remember too: if someone sends you a friend request and you click the ignore button, that friend doesn't get any kind of alert saying, oh, Ava just rejected my friend request. That doesn't happen. The chances are the person's not even going to know that you ignored their friend request. So, I mean, the other thing you can do, too, is you can block people from seeing your stuff, and you can also create lists. One thing I do, just as a personal example, on my profile is I have a little list set up. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like my closest friends are on that list. So if I post something that is kind of risque, maybe, you know, it's something I don't want everybody to see, I set the privacy settings on that post for just that quote, that list of my friends to see. And it's easy. So once you understand how to use all these little things, you know, there's no reason to be freaked out by it or anything like that. There's no reason to use an alias.
Okay, great. I have some friends who've used aliases, and so I just wanted to address that as being a viable option or not. So that's great. Thank you. And then the timeline, if you are already on Facebook and you don't do anything when the switchover happens here at the end of the month, you don't do anything to switch purposely to the timeline. I mean, nothing really happens. It's not like your profile disappears or anything. It just has your same picture in it, and it's no big deal, right?
Right. Now, didn't profiles already switch over or no?
No, I don't think it's till the 30th, but I might be off on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know pages, business pages officially switch over on the 30th too. So maybe everything totally switches over on that date. But yeah, what's going to happen is the design is just going to look a little different. You don't need to do anything to switch it over. It's just going to automatically happen. With personal profiles, it's not a big deal at all. The cool thing that you can do is now you can add a Facebook cover, it's called, which is that really big, that wide picture at the top of your Facebook profile. You can add a really cool picture up there. But if you have a personal profile, it's the switch over to timeline is nothing. It is not a big deal.
I've seen some of the timelines, and people have done some really cool things. It just feels to me like it makes more of an artistic or friendly flair. Like the big picture there, the cover photo, has been gardens for a lot of the people I've seen. And then it's their little profile picture that's the thumbnail down in the kind of the bottom. And so it kind of looks like they're in the garden. It's really fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a lot of, there's a lot of potential now with the new design to, I guess, graphically dress it up. And if you're a gardener, amateur or professional, you know, it's a cool opportunity because that picture is, I mean, it's huge. You know, it's a really good first impression, you know, telling people what you're all about.
Yeah, definitely. So I just want to go over real quick the Facebook resources I have created for this series and beyond, and would love to invite the audience to get involved. Here's a rundown of the different pages and their uses. The new one I already mentioned is a fan page. It's the same thing as a page. It's called Interior West Gardening Community. And, Chris, what's the best way for people to find that? Can they just type that into their search bar? Or should I give them the address?
Yeah, or give them the address if it's a shortened one. Give it to me again. I'm going to type it into my search bar and see if it comes up right away.
Great, thanks. Yeah, it's the whole name, actually. So it's facebook.com/Interior West Gardening Community.
Okay, I found it.
That kid came right up?
Just do a, you can just do a search for it on Facebook, and it'll pop right up, Interior West Gardening Community. It pops up. There's a nice photo up there. Nice job. And then just click the like button, and there you go.
Great. So that will be something where we can all go and share our experiences, victories, challenges, resources we find that work great for this or that, or whatever might occur to you. And I expect that people beyond just this teleseries will find it and will join in. So that will be fun too. And then the next one is one I talked about the first week, a week ago when we started. It's facebook.com/abundantearthgardens. And I've seen that many of you have already gone in and liked that. Thank you. That's my business page. And the usefulness for that, I feel like, is for you to share just your experience with the series. I'd love to hear your feedback. I've had some really complimentary emails come in from people saying, thanks for doing this, it's great, whatever. But to share that on this page would be really great just because it's more dynamic and other people see it and can comment. And especially what I'm interested in is your aha moments, things that you've learned from this series about how to deal with your soil or about how to water or not water or things like that. And I've been posting there too with garden tips as well as speaker highlights and information on the series. And then the last resource I've created is a secret group, and that's just for the participants in the series who have chosen to purchase the Garden Like the Pros package, which includes the MP3 recordings of the whole series, and will gain access, it'll gain those people access to dialogue with the speakers here in this secret group. And so far, the speakers who will be participating are Panayoti Kalaitis from the last session, and Chris with us today will also be making an appearance in there here, now and then. So if you have questions for either of them, you can join us at Garden Like the Pros, and I'll add you to that group. And that'll be pretty cool, I think, to be able to have dialogues with the speakers directly, so to speak. Basically, I feel like tuning into this series, you're going to get excited about trying new stuff, and then you might need some more juice or a sounding board with questions and want to experiment and wonder if anyone else has tried this or that before you do this whole thing. So I mentioned to you the first week that I took a course to learn how to host a teleseries like this. And that's where I got this idea, just to let you in on where that came from. They had a Facebook group for that course, and I found it invaluable. We'd dialogue regularly on there and just ask, post a question, how did you figure this out? What did you do about this? And almost instantly, it seemed like all kinds of people would come in and answer with their experiences, and then you could post back to them or comment on their comment and just have this dialogue going. And it was a really vibrant community. So that's what I'd love to see for us as Western gardeners, because I just feel like it will be such a benefit. And Chris, you already shared with us one story about the Northeast garden bloggers and how it kind of worked that way for them. But I wondered if you might have any others, because I think it's really cool to hear about.
about how people have kind of taken it offline?
That, or just how it's advanced people to the next stage in whatever it is they're trying to do, just by having meetings of the minds with these people in different parts of their own state or different parts of the country. I mean, I guess it really happens all the time through social media, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what I see mostly is on the the professional side of things, because I'm dealing with companies all the time versus, like, let's say homeowners or gardeners. But social media has been invaluable for many businesses and professionals that I know. Just like message boards, for instance, that was the original form of social media, just being able to connect with your peers, talk about challenges, just share different ideas with each other. I mean, it's happening everywhere. And then, like I said, some of those things eventually go offline, where people connect, through different forms of meetups. A lot of people are meeting up too from Twitter. They're doing tweet ups. I don't know if anybody on here is on Twitter or not. But that's another neat thing, These people that get to know each other on Twitter, a lot of them bloggers, get together in their community for tweet-ups so they can hang out and get to know each other a little better. So, I mean, social media is very powerful for, businesses or individuals.
Great. Definitely. I've used it for both a lot. The original reason I got on Facebook was for business. And I actually enjoy using it that way more, I have to admit, but I go through phases like once every 2 months, and I'll do a bunch of stuff on the personal page and reconnect with college friends, and it's a good old time.
I'm kind of similar.
Yeah, it's a great tool for all kinds of things. But I was very resistant for a long time. My husband was on Facebook for 2 years, and I had my nose up in the air about it. I just didn't have time for that. Now I totally enjoy it, obviously. So
you sound like my parents.
Yeah. Do they do it?
No. Absolutely not.
You haven't converted them yet, huh?
I'm not trying to convert them. I don't want them. I don't want them following me online.
Right. I can relate to that. So we're coming toward a close, and there's just a couple other things that I want to share with you all before we go on to the walking through how to sign up for Facebook and making a post on the fan page for the Interior West Gardening. One thing I want to say is that if you happen to be a landscape professional out there, or you are associated with someone who is, you may want to send them to chrislandscapeleadership.com. It's an amazing resource. And I want to tell you that on Thursday, we have another amazing speaker. His name is Robert Littlepage, and he's a garden design dynamo. He just knows how to bring it all home and break it down into bite-sized pieces and make it usable for the home gardener and professionals alike. But, you know, he works with all kinds of garden clubs and gives talks all over the place. And I think that you'll really enjoy what he has to say and find it to be really useful for laying out your space or making a few changes in what you already have going on and just give you kind of new lenses to look through when you look at your garden. So don't miss that on Thursday, same time, same place this week. And then one last thing I think is really cool before I dismiss everyone who already is on Facebook or doesn't want the walkthrough or whatever. I went on Panayoti's page last week on Facebook, and he's very active on there. And I found an exchange between him and one of his friends that I just thought was, it almost seemed like it was written for the purpose of this talk today. I just thought it was so cool, especially since he just spoke to us all on Thursday. So I just want to read it to you real quick. It's a friend of his named Minda, and she's writing to Panayoti, and she says, "Hi, Panayoti, good morning. What a wonderful friend you are to all your friends in the timeline page. Thanks to Mark Zuckerberg's creative genius designing and inventing his very beautiful Facebook, thus helping us all to share our passions, loves, likes, and interests. I'm so touched seeing all that I love to see, people and their fond likes for plants, the very weird but beautiful and lovely faces of cacti and succulents," which is a page on Facebook. "Hope to see more of your plants here on Facebook and Timeline. I need to know who introduced Timeline unto us. May I know who? Thank you again for," oh gosh, my computer just went to sleep. "Thank you again for today's viewing, and good morning to you, Panayoti." And Panayoti's response is, "Dear Minda, my thoughts exactly. A very intriguing universe, this. Each time I scroll my wall and see gardens and wonderful people around the world, I am intrigued. I think Facebook is an uncanny reflection of our psyche reflected into the human universe. Enjoyed browsing your page. Was that tag along? And what is someone from Rochester doing in that southwestern setting? The world is truly mysterious." I just thought that was a super fun snippet. It just feels so light and warm. And, you know, it's all from Facebook that these two people are interacting and enjoying seeing pictures of what they both appreciate in the plant world. So fun stuff.
That's some deep stuff.
Wasn't that cool?
I feel like meditating now.
I know. It just seems like the angels are almost singing or something with that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Panayoti is an amazing writer, too. He's just very artistic and poetic. I really enjoy what he has to say and write on Facebook or wherever. So with that, I look forward to connecting with you all on Thursday with Robert Littlepage. And I invite you now to go to your computer and to type in facebook.com. And we'll give you just a second to do that. And Chris will walk us through how to create a profile so that you can get started and then make a post. So it can be really helpful to you if you've never done it before and just feel like you could use that extra little bit of instruction or hand-holding. I know it makes a big difference for me sometimes when I'm learning new things. So give you just a second there. I'm bringing it up on mine so I can walk through it too. So do you want to dive into that with us now, Chris?
Yeah, I just logged out. Now I'm seeing what you guys would see if you don't have an account. Yeah, oh yeah, dude, just go to facebook.com. See right there on the right-hand side. Sign up. It's free. First, add your first name, your last name. Use your real name. Your email, use your primary email is my suggestion. And your password you're going to need to come up with. Typically, when you use a password, try to use uppercase and lowercase letters and put in a couple numbers as well, because you don't want somebody to hack your account. Don't use something like 123456 7 as your password. make it difficult, all right? And then birthday and all that stuff, select that, and then all you got to do is click that sign up button, and you've got a profile. And then once you get to that profile, your profile page, that's where you're going to see like all the different, you're going to have an opportunity to change privacy settings, things like that. It's going to, you know, ask you if you want to find friends on Facebook. You're going to update your information. So it's going to ask you like, okay, what high school did you go to? What college did you go to? What are your interests? You don't have to fill out all of that stuff. Just fill out whatever you're comfortable with. But that's really that's how Facebook determines who to suggest as friends. Like if I put in my high school, Kingsley High School, Michigan, it's going to suggest other people that have that same high school, right, and a similar birth date. That's kind of how they match people up. So I guess just be aware of that. And I guess the more you fill out your profile, the more you complete, the better Facebook can match you up with people, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So,
but it's really that simple.
So if you don't really want to be matched up with people and you're kind of cautious, maybe you want to leave a lot of those fields blank?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And maybe you want to do that at first, you know, so it's not so overwhelming. And then, you know, as you start to figure it out more and more, you can always go back in there and add that information.
That's a great suggestion.
You don't have to do it all up front.
Yeah, I bet that will keep it really manageable for people.
Yeah. And then take a look at there should be a link in there too in your profile for privacy settings. You'll want to take a look at that and set those, you know, for whatever your preferences are.
Do you have
That's about all you have to do.
Do you have recommendations about the privacy part? When I've looked at it before, I haven't always known like what's a good idea or if it matters and stuff like that.
I think privacy is unique to everybody. For me, I share pretty much everything. I don't I'm real lax about what I hide from people, I guess. I mean, I'm pretty transparent. So I'll share, you know, I share pictures of my son. I don't hide any of that stuff. I don't, it just doesn't bother me. Where other people have a really hard time with that, right? They don't want to show pictures of their kids or whatever. So you can control that in your privacy settings. I don't really have suggestions. It's totally up to you. It's totally depends on what you're comfortable with, what you're comfortable having people see.
So there's nothing you should really be cautious about. It just seems like on the news now and then you hear about this or that happened because someone didn't have enough privacy settings on their Facebook. I don't know what that's about. My mom's always finding articles that have scary stuff that happened in them that she shows me. It seems like it has stuff like that. Nothing you can recommend along those lines specifically.
One thing that would be smart, I think, is what's called the default privacy. So if you go into your account and up at the top right, you can click down and you'll see a link for privacy settings. And there's and you'll see on that page it says control your default privacy. Okay, so this means this is the default setting for whenever you post something. So you can set it to public, or you can set it to friends, or you can set up a custom, some kind of custom setting. Well, I have mine set to friends, meaning whenever I post an update, I only want my Facebook friends to see that. So I'm controlling what people see by setting it to that. If I marked my default privacy as public, anybody who came to my profile could see everything. So I'd probably start, if you're just now joining Facebook, I would start by, you know, having just your friends see your stuff, not public. I don't think you want everybody to see your stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess that's my one suggestion for privacy.
Sounds like a good one.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
So if you only have 10 friends, those 10 people, those are the only people that are going to be able to see your stuff.
Great. So then everyone should be on there with an account now, and they can go through their privacy settings and everything else, their past and their interests and education and all that more later if they want to. But for now, are they ready to be able to make a post? Can you tell them how to go somewhere and make a post?
Like on your wall, on your page?
Yeah, or on maybe on their own wall, and maybe, how about on their own wall, and how to find that page I set up for the Interior West Gardeners.
Okay, so all you have to do to make a post on your page is on the top right, you're going to see a few links. You should see a link that has your name on it. Like mine says Chris Heiler. If you click on that, that takes you to what's called your wall or your the timeline. This is where you post an update. So on the left-hand side, or at least on mine, you should see a space where you can add a status update. So all you have to do is type something in there and then hit the post button, and it's on your page. Or you can upload a photo, anything like that. That's all you have to do.
Great. Pretty easy.
Oh, yeah.
We like
Super
that.
Super simple.
And then to find a page, I mean, if they have certain interests, they could type in at that top bar, can they type in just a category? Like, could they just type in gardening and find all kinds of resources, or how does that work?
Yeah, that'll probably take them to a bunch of different pages.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest thing to do, like type in that top box, type in Interior West Gardening Community. When you type that in, you should see that page pop up. And then just go to that. And if you click the like button, then you're going to get the updates from this page. So whenever Ava adds something to this page, you'll get those updates. If you like the page.
And they can make posts on that wall as well. Is it called a wall still with a business?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, and then other people can also post on there.
Great. And then I find that on the right-hand column, there's always different pages coming up that say like this or like that, and it's all tailored to my interests. And that's cool. I think that's cool. I was just having an idea running through my head about how I have a couple friends who are a little paranoid about that. They feel like they're being watched or monitored or something. And actually, I wonder if you have a comment on that. But I think it's fun to go through those and see the other things that are actually good resources for my interests and checking out their pages. And if I think they are a good match, then liking them. And it just broadens my reach in the gardening community and learning new things from other people. But what do you think about that
piece? Yeah, basically Facebook. Well, Facebook is basically running ads alongside the right side of the page. That's how they make their money. They run the ads, and those ads are they're serving up those ads based on your interests, your information. It's all based on the information that you put into your Facebook profile. And it's also, the ads you see are also based on who you are friends with. So the ads, like you were saying, the ads can be very relevant to you because they're based on your personal information and they're based on what your friends like.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's anything to worry about for any reason?
Not really. I mean, I think that's the way advertising is going in the future. It's going to be much more targeted. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, I mean, just if you don't like it, don't fill out any information on your profile. But the problem is you're still going to see ads. They're just not going to, they won't be relevant to you whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of the ads, I mean, they don't feel like standard ads where they're trying to sell me something. I get to go to this page and interact with this whole other community of gardeners and have discussions, and I don't feel like anyone's trying to sell me anything. I mean, some of them are.
Right, right. And that's really the intent. That's what Facebook's trying to do. They're trying to make it look like it's not just a blatant advertisement, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, it feels courteous, I think.
Yeah, it's very subtle.
Yeah. Well, great, Chris. You've been a tremendous help. Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off? I feel like we covered the ground I was hoping to cover.
Yeah, I would say, if you're just getting started with Facebook, give it a chance. Don't let it overwhelm you. And again, just because, let's say you get a bunch of friend requests from people that you don't necessarily want to connect with, you don't have to accept those friend requests, all right? It's okay to ignore them. I don't have much more to add than that. Just, play around with it. Don't let it overwhelm you. Check out the pages that Ava's created. Check out the group, that private group, if you join her,
Garden like
you do what she wants you to do and all this stuff. Join that group and just participate in it. I think you'll probably get a ton from it.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for sharing your expertise and your insight and your stories. I loved some of your stories you relayed about the gardening start for you and the Northeast Garden Bloggers. Some really cool stuff going on. I think it's terrific. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.